Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to episode 4 of Babysitting Trevor with me, Chris Martin.
And me, Carl Donnelly. And our adopted uncle, child,
just hero.
Hero. Trevor Crook.
Trevor Crook.
Who's on his way, where we can find out how he got on with this week's tasks. The point of this podcast is each week we give Trevor homework to try and sort of just stop him from being so lazy.
Yeah, he's a comedian, he's very funny, but he does not put in effort into anything in his life.
He does not.
Anything outside his living room.
Yeah. Or going to the gym and just lifting weights every couple of days.
Found out last week, we're actually helping out.
Yeah, apparently his moods are up.
And his reps are down.
So this week's homework we gave him, my one was to basically, I was going to send him to an art exhibition, but now I thought I'd go with, turned out to be a little family day out, didn't it?
You it came. Was, I came as well, mate, and I'm not, you know, a museum goer.
It was an art gallery, it wasn't a museum.
Same difference.
Absolutely different
things. Same bracket, mate.
What do you mean, what bracket?
In the art gallery museum bracket.
Is that, what else is in this bracket?
Art gallery, museum, library.
What? How are they the same
They're
thing?
All stuff that you do and you come out with going, I'm really clever. That's right, isn't it? You come out and go, I'm so clever. Do you not get that? Someone I'm reading the book, I'm reading it, but most of my brain's going, I'm so clever right now, I'm reading the book.
Is that true?
Yeah, do you never think that? When I'm reading the book, I'm so good, I'm reading the book. And I'll read it for like 8 pages and I'm going to reward myself with some TV now because I just read a book.
8 pages?
Yeah, that's good. This is some chapter. But anyway, well, we know Trev went.
Yeah, so we took him. He was very funny while we were there, but it'd be interesting to get his take. We didn't actually ask for any feedback. We thought we'd wait till we were recording to find out what he thought.
Because that was quite a strenuous activity for Trev. I gave him a much simpler one of just do something nice for Julia every day.
Nice and simple.
Reckon he did it?
No. That is way... He might have done a couple of nice things.
You'd do something like, you'd like make like your girlfriend's name out of flowers and stuff. He'd probably, not burn anything. It'd be like his... He's doing something nice categorization. Yeah. But anyway, we'll find out. I'm hopefully did some nice things.
Yeah, I reckon he did. And we've also got, obviously, Trev's poem of the week, which has become a real treat.
Which he said he was going to do about yoga.
Yeah.
He wanted to go back to yoga and do a poem.
He's just gone rogue.
At least he's taking an active...
Is the one thing he's really enjoying every week. Definitely, like, he looks forward to doing it.
He likes poems and other people's wives and partners.
Yeah,
that's it.
We're really getting to know his hidden layers.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to episode 4 of Babysitting Trevor, where me, Chris Martin...
And me, Carl Donnelly...
...help our friend...
Friend. Adopted uncle.
Uncle. Sort of ethereal
foster
figure.
Foster son. Can we say foster son?
Weird. I feel like you're my uncle and my son at the same time.
Yeah. I do have that vulnerability that makes me childlike.
It's true.
You do.
So I have people going, oh, poor Trevor, he's a bit fucking childlike, isn't he? And
a child with a potty mouth. Trevor Crook.
Yes.
This is Trevor Crook. We're helping your wife out, really, aren't we?
Yeah, you are, actually, yeah. Yeah.
She grateful?
Well, is she grateful?
That we're helping?
Yeah, she's very grateful.
That sounded dodgy than I meant it to sound.
She thinks anything gets me out of the house is good. So I think you're contributing to the happiness of our marriage, actually. The marriage has improved.
That's what we're here for.
Since we're doing this show.
We are marriage counsellors.
You are,
We should start a spin-off called just Chris and Carl's Marriage Counselling.
Yeah. What have you been up to, Carl, this week?
What have I been up to this week?
You've been a busy boy.
I've been right busy. I'm so tired. I've been burning the candle at both ends.
You have actually, haven't
I've
you?
I've been
working hard and partying
Doing both. I went to Luxembourg for 2 days to visit one of my oldest friends.
Popular destination for a holiday.
Popular lads holiday destination, Luxembourg. Yeah. On the first day, I did an all-day drinking session, started in the airport, and ended up at 2 a.m. in a children's play park. Obviously, not abandoned. But
that sounds bleak.
It wasn't abandoned, it just wasn't in use.
Children have been here for years.
Kids are in bed.
There's a kid in a playpen at 2 a.m. And
just
that
ended
kid
up
is...
on like monkey bars and stuff at 2 a.m.
Oh, right.
And there was a climbing wall, free climbing walls that my friend Garrett, who I was visiting, has never managed to scale. And the four of us that visited him all did it in the first go, which I've never seen anyone get more annoyed about something.
When's he been? He's always been trying to scale it drunk on the way home.
Probably, yeah.
Rather than in the middle of the day.
It's not a good time for rock climbing, is it?
No. If you don't have yourself in a harness in the Caribbean, that's dangerous.
In the Caribbean?
In a Caribbean. Oh. In a Caribbean.
Is that what it's called?
That little hook thing.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah. So Trevor, like, he knows about climbing. Are you a climber?
No. A bloke got stuck on a wall. They used to have a climbing wall at my gym. This fucking idiot got pissed and then went up there without any harness.
Yeah.
So he got to the top. But then he sort of freaked out and began to cry. He was like crying, bawling. He just stuck there, right? You're looking at like 60 feet, isn't it, up a fucking wall?
Yeah.
And he was just stuck there, just could not move, completely frozen and crying because he thought he was going to fall and die.
Yeah.
And they had to call the fire department and sort of rescue him. Yeah, so it's like total humiliation.
So he must have been quite... I struck him as a bloke, he's like, yeah, I can climb this without any safety gear. And he's really gone from cocky, cool guy to man crying at the top of a climbing wall.
Right, he managed to sober up as he literally went up a wall.
Yeah, I'm a very bad climber. I've got no natural coordination for climbing.
It involves doing quite a lot, climbing.
Yeah, but I mean,
you've got good upper body strength.
Yeah, I'm good in the gym and all that, but I've just got no desire to go up. That's
what it is. Bishop in chess. Just go one direction. Is that true?
No,
they don't play chess.
That was one of the weirdest analogies. I was going to go, because none of them go up or down. They all go sort of forward, backwards. And it goes diagonally.
Bishops do.
Bishops go diagonally, mate.
I'm not thinking, what's the other one? What's rook?
A rook.
I meant to say
a rook goes just horizontally. Yeah,
yeah. Are you a chess player?
No, I admire the principle. It's a highly intelligent, strategic game.
But it's not for you.
I prefer drafts, to be honest.
Drafts. Why? You prefer drafts?
Yeah, I like drafts, yeah. It's for simpletons, really, drafts, isn't it?
Anyone
can play it, but it's very enjoyable.
From a distance, it looks like you're playing chess. That's what's good about
drafts. It looks like you're playing
If you play drafts in a park, a distance, everyone will be like, chess. Actually, it's playing drafts.
True. Little do they know, you're just playing hopscotch on a chessboard, which essentially is what it is.
You have to play for money to make it interesting.
I do.
Can you
gamble? You a gambler? I didn't think you were a gambler.
Yeah, I can be a gambler.
Have you had any serious betting?
Yeah, I have. Not here so much, but on the poker machines in Australia. Fucking weakness.
You told me when we first met a story where it ended of gambling, but it started of you getting locked out of your house.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
That's got... it's not... Do you remember this?
I do remember that.
I got locked out of the house. I've got a flat in Sydney up on the second floor, and I said I'd clean my flat up, so I was sort of taking stuff down from the house, the flat, down to my lock-up garage downstairs.
What are you wearing for this, Trev?
Underpants.
Yeah, just underpants.
Fucking flip-flops.
Just underpants and flip-flops.
Clear out your house. Anyway, I did about 6 trips, and I left my front door open. Then I became a bit paranoid. I thought, while I'm in the garage, someone could fucking, just come into the house, steal my laptop for some fucking reason. So I decided to lock the door. So I checked these underpants. Had pockets on each side. So I had the...
otherwise known as shorts.
Yes. They weren't really shorts.
So they were pants with pockets.
Yeah.
That sounds like an invention. Crap present I would have got from my mum at some point in the last 10 years.
I've never seen a pant with a pocket.
Pockets.
Yeah, they were like... had a big bulge at the front. They weren't short. They were
what eventuality are they made for?
Yeah.
Like...
The pockets.
Well, yeah, why would they put pockets on an underwear?
Is it in case? Is it for the man that likes to clean in his house out in his underpants?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose they've got... Why, I mean, pockets are useful, but yeah, any time, aren't they, really?
That's a great tagline for pockets.
Yeah. How many times have you thought, fuck, if I'm out of pocket now? So anyway, I was up and down the stairs, and what happened was I said, I'm going to shut the front door. No need to worry, I've got the front door key here. So I shut the door, and I just reached into my pocket just to check, and it was the garage door key. So I didn't fucking lock myself out, you know what I mean? So then I start going off my head, you fucking idiot, and blah, blah, blah. And Theo, he was my neighbour, Greek neighbour from downstairs, he pokes his head out of his flat and says, what's going on, Trevor? I said, oh, well, fucking locked out, you know what I mean? And then he said, you want my telephone? I said, my ex-wife, she lives about 3 miles away. She got a spare key. So I grabbed his phone and I called her and I said, listen, you got to come and fucking let me into the flat. She said, no, I'm not coming. I said, no, you fucking, I'll pay the tax fare. No, it's just a waste of money. I said, no, yeah, this is like an emergency. Fucking, I said, no, you'll have to meet me at Bankstown Station. So, okay. About 3 stops on the train. So I couldn't get, I had nothing to wear, just had my underpants and the fucking thongs. So Theo lends me like a dollar, he only had a dollar on him, give me some change for the train fare, because I had no money on me at all. So I go to Wyatt, it's about 110 degrees heat. I'm burning on the way to the station, like laser fucking beamed into my back.
Did he not? So he didn't lend you a T-shirt?
No, he didn't.
That is so true of you, a train fare, but no clothes.
It was almost like in his head, he's like, I'll help him a bit, but this will be a better story if I don't lend him any clothing.
So I walked to Wiley Park Station, it's about an 8 minute walk in blazing heat. And I'm very white skinned, I was just burning like fuck, you know what I mean? And I get on the train, I'm like going off my head.
Are people looking at you weird?
Yeah, they are thinking like mad fucking.
You're a madman shouting in your pants.
I get to Bankstown Station. She's there to meet me. She thinks it's fucking hilarious. You know what I mean? She's so funny. Then she gives me the key, and I said, look, give me train fare back home. She said, no, just fucking jump on the train. I said, yeah, but they might have an inspector on. So she said, no, I'm not giving you anything. You know, I go, fuck. So I'm on the train going back, and I'm stressed out. I'm thinking an inspector would come on. I've got no ticket. I get a $200 fine.
You need pants. That's a relatively good excuse.
That's right.
They haven't got pockets in it. So you could have money in your pockets. My pockets are not useful, Trevor.
So anyway, at least I've got my fucking key.
Anyway,
I get back to my flat, and I put the key in the fucking lock. It doesn't turn. She'd give me the wrong key.
Oh, so check it on purpose?
No, this is how it panned out. So I'm going off my fucking head. So Theo comes out again and says, what's wrong? Oh, she gave me the wrong key, the dopey slut, you know what I mean? So I'm going off my head. So he gives me a telephone. I'll call up a locksmith. He said, just call a locksmith. This is fucking ridiculous, you know what I mean? So anyway, I called the locksmith, $125 for a visit. But anyway, he's on his way, right? And then I reach into the other pocket. Oh, fuck, there's another key there. Oh, fuck, that's the key she gave me. And fucking that was the front door key. And then I go, well, fuck, I don't need the locksmith now. I don't want to pay $125.
Did you put the same garage door key back in again?
The garage door key.
You only got two pockets in two keys. Surely try the second one at one point.
I know, just fucking... Anyway, so I thought, well, the locksmith is on his way, you know what I mean? And so I phoned him up and said, listen, mate, don't worry about it, I've got in. He said, I'm nearly there, mate, fucking, you know what I mean? So I'm going, fuck. Anyway, rather than going in my flat to hide, I thought, fuck it, I'll go down, I'll hide in the garage. I'm a fucking idiot, I should have gone back into the flat, but I didn't do that. I shut the door again, I hid in the garage. And then when I come out of the garage about 20 minutes later, I see him jumping in his little locksmith car, and he's going. I thought, fucking made it, mate. I didn't have to pay him $125. Yeah. So I'm fucking really happy, and I go up, still in my underpants and fucking flip-flops or whatever, and I go back to the flat, put the key in the door, fucking key would not go into the lock. What the fucker had done, he'd snapped a key off in the lock. Yeah, to fuck me up, because I didn't pay him $125.
Never piss off a locksmith, mate.
I start going off my head again.
good phrase, sir.
I go totally off my head, and...
your neighbours were
anyway, then I go, well, I've got to get into this fucking flat, you know what I mean? So I decide to call the locksmith back up. So
same one?
Yeah, the same one. But I had 50p piece in my pocket. Not enough for a train fare, but enough for a phone call.
Yeah.
So I walked up to Wiley Park Hotel, another 8 minute walk, blazing fucking heat, burnt to fuck, you know what I mean? So I phoned him up, and then I said, listen, mate, I've got to have this fucking locksmith. Mate, you're going to have to pay another $125, you know, for him to come back out again. I said, well, all right, fuck. So I give him the credit card details, pay the $250 for two visits on the credit card, remembered all the details. And then I go back to my flat and waiting for an hour. And then I go, Fuck, then Theo came back by then, so I phoned him. I've used Theo's fucking phone to phone this locksmith. Where are you, mate? What the fuck going on? And he said, sorry, mate, we're going to send somebody out, but you sounded really upset. We thought it might turn violent. So our locksmith just refused to come out. I said, no, I'm all right. Fucking, yeah, I'm fucking calm. I'm calm. Fucking, don't worry. I'm nearly fucking crying. I'm calm, mate. No. He said, okay. So anyway, they send another fucking hour wait. The younger locksmith comes out and he goes up. He checks my fucking lock, pulls half a key out. So that's when I know the other twat had fucking snapped a key off my lock, which is like it's a crime actually to do that shit. And it's
probably trying to call a locksmith out and then hide in your garage. You weren't a victim here.
No, that's fucking dishonest. And then anyway, I'm back in my flat. He got me back in there and I start to cry. Like, I'm just 5 hours this saga lasted. So I'm just fucking crying. I couldn't control myself. I was just crying. And I have a shower. And so I'm going to go out and not get pissed. You know what I mean? Fuck this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I went down to the local football club and, anyway, I'm at a lot of about 7 or 8 beers, a lot for me. So I'm quite pretty pissed. Then I'm coming
out. You
seen
any pants?
Eh?
You seen any pants?
Oh, no, I changed. Right. Had my good shirt on the whole lot. So anyway, so I'm pissed. I'm coming out, thinking about the $250 I've lost and all the drama. You know what I mean? It's a fucking traumatic day. And I'm passing a fucking poker machine. I put a dollar coin in. I go fucking bang, and I hit the $250 jackpot. So I got all my fucking money back. Right. And and I thought, you know, there must be, I don't know what the moral to the story was, I've got no idea, there must be a moral.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a good moral.
No.
Yeah, maybe. I thought maybe living in a tent where a front door's not an issue may have been the moral, I don't know. But the but that traumatised, yeah, because that's about the third time I've been locked out of my flat.
The third time?
Yeah, the third time.
Jesus Christ. I've never been locked.
Is that why you bought pants with pockets? Because you thought that would avoid that happening? Was that like after the second
time? No, I never thought of that. It never crossed my mind. I think they were given to me, the underpants.
Well, so you've had a locksmith out a few times off the back of that, have you?
Yeah, another time I hid my spare key under a fucking pebble, a white pebble. You know, when you keep a spare key outside?
Yeah.
I had the spare key under a pebble, white pebble, the only pebble in the whole area, just patch of land.
It's a pebble in the middle
under a picture of a key. Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of sandpit, just one pebble.
Yeah, yeah, fucking a tattoo of a key on the fucking rock or something. But anyway, I get locked down in my fault window. It doesn't matter. I've got know where my key is, so I go there. What they done? Some fucker had dumped about a ton of white pebbles on that same spot. And, I was like, didn't know, you know what I mean? I go, this is unbelievable. And there's like 1,000 pebbles at the exact same size as the pebble I hid my fucking key under. So I'd go and got my head there 3 hours looking for this fucking key. And then I couldn't find. I knew a friend of mine who was a burglar. He was a cat burglar.
What? I didn't know cat burglars specifically were real.
Yeah.
And also the fact that your mate, that's what his official sort of job is.
I'm doing a course for him. He's not nice young bloke.
What's the difference between a burglar and a cat burglar?
Does he wear a little mask?
Stealthy.
He's a stealthy one, right?
Yeah, the up and down walls and very agile.
So a burglar is just a smash and grab type.
Yeah, that's right. No, he's like an artist. Yeah.
He's like Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Anyway, I called him and he's, oh, no worries, Trevor. He got into my flat, like up fucking walls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he got me I was back in there in about 10 seconds. Fucking brilliant. I thought you should have courses in cat burglary at fucking school. So,
yeah.
You know what I mean? I think it's a very useful
skill. It's a great bloke to know.
Yeah.
I went to my first ever gay bar. I realised I'm 30 and I'm liberal. So I'm like, yeah. You know, think, hey, I'm cool with gay. You know, I must have been to loads. Whereas it's the first time I've actually been in a gay bar. I went with my wife and a friend. And I don't know if this is like an arrogant thing. It's not from a place of ill will or hatred or anything. I was just like, I'm going to go in here. And I was like, sort of, I don't know. I just thought, I'm going to get chatted up so many times in there. I just assumed I'd get chatted up a lot.
Mm.
No gay guy tried to chat me up. And then in my head, rather than go, oh, I just thought, they probably know I'm straight. Rather than they don't fancy me or have it off of me. But in my head, I was like, they just know. They can smell it on me. Have you been to a gay bar before?
Yeah, a bloke, it wasn't a gay bar, but he was like a normal bar, but he's chatted, he seemed a nice bloke. He said, do you want a lift home? And I said, oh, all right. So he gave me a lift. This is in Canberra. So he gave me a lift home. And then I said, out of politeness, I want to come in for coffee. So he came in. And he sort of,
it's already escalated.
Yeah, that's straight out of the movies, mate.
That's right. Yeah.
Never say coffee. Coffee means sex.
Yeah, no.
Do you want to come in for a glass of water and
chat
before you
drive
home?
This in the 80s. Or was you going for coffee? But I had no sexual intent whatsoever. And but then he comes in and he sees a... a bodybuilding magazine on the table. He said, oh, you do bodybuilding? I said, oh, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, you've given him so far every try that is possible.
Yeah, you're also just a dildo collector. Yeah, them on the walls. Just a big fan.
Then, so I'll move all them dildos off the table. Sorry, mate. Sorry,
then he says to me, what, do you do the poses? Oh, yeah, fucking, I know posing routines and the whole bit.
So at no point do you think he's gay?
No, not at all. No, fucking no. Then he said to me, I'd love to see you do some of the poses. It's such an artistry to it.
Such a good
shout,
mate.
He's absolutely.
So I get my gear off, just my underpants, get down in my underpants.
He's like, well, I've got pockets anymore.
He's had no pockets. But anyway, I'm doing all the poses, like, you know, fucking biceps and all that kind of stuff, lats. And then he says to me, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but I've got an erection. And that was the clue then.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big clue.
Okay, right.
Reading you loud and clear.
It's also
mate.
The politest come on ever.
I don't mind me saying this, but currently I've got an erection.
Imagine saying that to someone in a bar.
But as he's saying this, mate, my fucking housemate comes in the room. And there's like this bloke sitting on the fucking sofa with an erection. I'm still doing the poses, you know what I mean? Because I thought, he wanted poses as
you're
well.
You're a pro,
like,
mate. You don't break your poses.
It looks very compromised. It looks like I'm gay.
I mean, the whole story looks like you're gay, Trevor.
It does, doesn't
it? It's one of the gayest stories ever.
It's gayer than two men having sex.
Yeah. But this was in the 80s. It's a different climate now.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh, yeah, back then, you had the Catholic guilt and you couldn't...
Oh, what you mean? I'm with you. Sorry, I thought you meant back then, everyone. Your flatmate was like...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Was he quite tolerant, was he?
Oh, no. Word would get around that I was in a bloke, so I'd be like living in shame.
Sorry, you were the phrase. I was in a bloke.
Yeah, rumour had spread that I'm gay, and they'd be very harsh. They'd say, oh, you fucking love to fuck blokes. It'd be all that kind of stuff, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah, Trevor loves to fuck blokes and all but that
did,
kind of stuff.
Did you explain the story? Because obviously it's quite, you know, it's not nothing.
No, I didn't really. When I saw him the next day, I was too fucking embarrassed to fucking mention it, really.
So you should never mentioned it to him again?
No, I never mentioned it again.
I
wouldn't believe it anyway.
I know what you mean. Telling me that fact that you didn't realise it was the fact that you continued to body build pose whilst he had a sort of. But back then in the '80s, bodybuilding was actually really pumping iron had just come out and stuff, hadn't it?
Did your flatmate leave the room?
Yeah, he did. Oh, sorry, like he'd interrupted something.
And so, but it just. How did the night fizzle out?
No. Well, he was quite a nice bloke. We just finished his coffee and fucked off.
That's so nice. Got an erection, had a coffee, and just went home. Lovely end to the night.
You know that bloke retelling that story? Let's say 30. He must have been like. Absolutely.
I thought it was nailed on.
Turns out he's just an absolute cock tease. He posed to me in pants, guys. Yeah,
I was prick teasing him. I fucking prick teasing Trevor.
Unintentional prick tease.
Yes,
I am going, actually. And I mean, an Australian in an art gallery, that's a bit like Trump in the White House. Very unexpected.
So, how do you think you got on with this week's homework, Trev?
What was it again?
Well, there was a few bits. One of them we know went relatively well because we went with you to make sure you got there. We went to an art exhibition.
We went to see an Anselm Kiefer exhibition.
Oh,
German,
that's right.
A German painter and sculptor.
Yeah, that was right.
Bit of culture we decided to do.
Bit of culture.
It's lovely.
Carl's a big culture vulture. Mm. I'm in your league, actually, Trev. I'm not a huge... Things I went to a school where you were forced to learn a lot. Yeah. When I have to do it recreationally, I fight that urge.
I appreciate it, but it's got to be close by.
ideally in Tesco.
Well, this was one of my favourite things. Because his stuff, Anselm Kiefer's stuff, is very large scale, industrial looking. And I think... one of your first comments was about how much effort he'd made.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
He had, what, 30 hospital beds, didn't he, that were made out of lead? Wasn't he had lead blankets and fuck knows, whatever. It was lead, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
And then he had massive paintings, which were, again, like peeled back lead.
Yeah.
And everything was lead. Now, I came to the conclusion that it must be the world's heaviest fucking art exhibition.
It's such a good review of it. It's an art exhibition.
Yeah.
Not about the meaning, just will weigh a lot.
Yeah, but I thought on an artistic level, it's... I mean, some of the paintings were quite good, but I think the other stuff just required a lot of fucking work and effort.
There was one that I saw, and I was like to Carl, I was like, you know, I don't know, you know, it's modern, so you don't want to be like, modern, not anyone could do it. There was one, he called it Thor, and it was an anvil with a hammer next to it on a bit of wood, and that was all it was. So he hadn't done it, he just put an anvil on a bit of wood with a hammer and called it Thor. And I was like, I reckon I could have done that.
Yeah.
That's not a lot of...
There's not a big
leap in that one.
You could have it like a guitar case with a turd on it, and that could maybe have some artistic...
Yeah, but what I'm saying is... You could have a sword on, like, a stone and
could have picked
anything. Lancelot.
Yeah, I mean, why an anvil? It could have been fucking anything, you know what I mean? Like, out of your house or something, I don't know, an alarm clock with a dead bird next to it.
With a dead bird next to it.
Yeah.
Speaking of dead birds, me and Trevor had a coffee before. It's a weird change of topic, coffee while we're waiting for you before going to the art gallery.
Yeah.
You told me a story about, I think, your ex-wife's family... in China, with the birds.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
something
to
do with that. China had a weird campaign to kill birds.
1950s. This was they thought a problem with starlings. The starlings were eating all the crops. They decided we need to wipe the fuckers out.
Yeah,
so we have to need an extermination campaign to get rid of all the starlings.
Okay,
so how do we do it?
And they literally all of them. They were going to wipe out a species.
Never even struck me as starlings an annoying. I don't think I could pick a starling out of a bird lineup. If I'm honest.
They're like we call them probably blackbirds or some shit. They decided to kill the whole fucking lot. And so what they did, they come up with this scheme where they made noise. They made a lot of noise so the starlings couldn't land to rest. Right. So the whole my father-in-law was actually in on it. The entire population of China came out. Like, from all across the country they came out. And for, 24-7, for about a fucking week, they just, banged, saucepans and screamed and whistled. And so when the starlings they were fucking getting exhausted, because every time they went to land, someone would start banging, they'd come up again, they'd go to land, there's a noise, and then come up again. So
nationwide noise
to keep starlings from landing. So they could, so they couldn't rest.
Yeah.
So eventually the starlings were just fucked, the men were flying, exhaustedly around China. And they just started to drop out of the sky. They just fucking died of exhaustion.
Couldn't they just moved? One thing birds have the ability to do is fly to another country.
Yeah, it was probably the wrong time of year or something. Yeah. The Chinese probably timed it just right. So they probably knew when they migrate.
This is where you're really sort of veering into guesswork here, Trev.
Historically, you can check it. You can Google it.
Had you get any sleep for that week?
No, they had shifts.
I'm doing the night shift on Starlink.
Yeah, it's like a big party. They just drink wine and make a party out of it.
Festival,
and make a lot of noise. When the starlings were approaching, they just the din would pick up and they wouldn't land, and they wiped them all out. But what happened then was that the insects the starlings used to eat, they fucking reproduced, mega.
Yeah.
And they ate all the crops. And 43 million people starved to death.
Of
That was not.
Don't make me laugh that loud and tell me that at the end, Trev.
Yeah, that's right.
That was really long.
It was a disaster, really.
Brought on by themselves.
It was not an
accident. That was a man-made
disaster.
The Stalins were giving them the fucking middle feather, mate. Fuck you.
The middle feather. Trev, that really, that came out of nowhere, that ending. That's not why. That's why 43 million people died.
Yeah, yeah, but it's a big population, China. That's like 100 people dying in London. Really, it's like a.
When you got, still, yeah, but
maths. I reckon their maths are off. But that is.
You're really annoyed if you had a crap week's sleep.
Yeah, yeah, 43 million people. It's hard to fucking imagine.
No, that's crazy. Yeah. Well, do you know what? That's quite a bleak. Yeah. There's a bleak ending to what was a comedy podcast, but that ending actually sort of links to the exhibition. It was pretty bleak.
Well, so, yeah. I
mean, leg beds.
You kept trying to say quite pretentious phrases about life and death.
I kept trying to say, when you're walking around a gallery, right, all you've got to do is, because I feel when I'm in a gallery, I don't know if producer Joel's into them, but I find there's a lot of pressure to look like you know what's happening. So what you just loudly say
is
stuff
like...
Lead
is not an uplifting metal, is it?
It's not.
See, but they worked in lead mines, tin mines in Australia, like the Cornish workers came out and they ate pasties because you'd get the stuff under your fingernails.
Oh, yeah.
All kind of poison. And so you had pasties so you could actually have something to grip on.
Oh, on the back handle.
Yeah, that handle is like a handle.
So you're not, historically you're not meant to eat the pasty handle?
No, you're not.
That's where
full of poison. Full of poison.
Full of lead.
Back then,
back then, not now.
Eat
Cornish pasty companies.
You're meant to eat like a bit of watermelon.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Just leave the little sort of telephone bit.
The crunchy bit. The crunchy bit sometimes the best bit.
I think it's
not back then, though.
It absorbed all of them.
Terrible way to die. How do you get you're poisoned by a pasty?
Yeah, fucking pasty. Yeah,
it's pasty and
what an idiot. Fucking pasty and
really sad.
Yeah.
We start talking about asbestos weirdly, and you told me you're. Like asbestos is really bad. It's like, you know, but you told me, you know, part of your, like, you've got a lot of phobias and stuff, and that's one of your big ones.
Yeah, that's a very big one, actually. I with building sites, I never go near a building site, like an industrial building site. I sometimes I'll run past it, and people go, you're always running past fucking industrial sites.
So you'll be walking with someone.
Yeah, hold my breath. I'll take a deep breath and just sprint.
So even if you're walking with someone,
yeah.
So just out of nowhere,
I'm making an excuse.
Do you tell them what's happening?
No, I'm making an excuse.
You're not worried about
you making to hold your safety.
Yeah. No, I don't. I know, but they should have educated themselves about the dangers.
But what's your excuse for holding your breath and running past a building site?
I'll make up some excuse that is that the bus or some shit like that. I'll just break in a sprint.
That's terrifying, though.
Well, the picture paints 1,000 words. A 300-word poem is a little bit futile, so I'm off to bed.
All right, now it's time for Trevor's poem. This is where you write us a poem each week based on our.
Yeah, this is about my yoga class.
So you went back. You went back to yoga.
I did. I went back.
So obviously, we said it before, but you just didn't.
Yeah, yeah. But I sort of wrote the poem before the class.
So I let
you down because
I didn't do the yoga properly the first
pretend,
time.
I pretended to go and then.
Hang on, the first time, did you not even go to the yoga class?
No.
You just fully made up the whole thing.
Then Julia shamed me. She said, "Oh, everyone's working to try and save your career and fucking
So you just fully. I really want to listen to the audio of the first episode. You just. Because we were asking you about the class and you were just fully like a.
Yeah, I didn't go.
I didn't even think you'd made that up.
No, I did go.
Anyway, so it's time for Trevor's.
So you actually have now gone to the. So this is your first time at a yoga class.
Yeah, I went on last Wednesday.
But you still. Did you write this poem before
the
class?
Yeah.
So you wrote.
Well, let's hear the poem.
Let's hear the poem. Let's chat about yoga class.
Okay. I went to yoga class tonight to stretch my aging spine, get rid of all the tension, and get my vertebrae aligned. My slipped and bulging discs were given some respite. I met my inner self and even increased my height. A class of middle-aged people, some as stiff as me, all sitting on our mats with our elegant yogi. She had our attention, she held our focus, we followed her directions and settled into lotus. There was a moment of embarrassment not long from the start. In the spiritual silence, someone dropped a fart. Regardless of evolution, regardless of God's decrees, we are still animals when someone cuts the cheese. The instructor moved from pose to pose, poetry in motion as my admiration rose. The crane, the cat, the cobra all made it to the mat. I was struggling with a monkey and nearly fucked my back. The eagle, peacock and camel poses with the others that she knew. Throat in lion, tortoise and frog, and I was in a fucking zoo. Finally back to Lotus for closing meditations to meet my inner self and ask for explanations. Where had he been hiding? Why leave me in this hell? And then I suddenly realised he was a twat as well.
That's a nice tread. Oh, yeah. That's good. I'm guessing some of those animal poses aren't real.
Oh, they are.
Even a monkey?
Yes. Yep, yep.
So did you do any of these actual poses in the class?
Yeah, I tried, yeah.
So what was the gang on? So who was in the class this time? Because you just made up.
It was me, a gay fella who was probably the best in the class, and there was another bloke who wasn't too bad. The instructor, then me, I was fucking hopeless.
Like, how did it become, how was it like announced that he was a gay man?
I know he was fairly obvious he was gay.
Okay.
And,
coming from a bloke who went to someone's house, right, did poses in muscle man, and didn't even go he was gay. I'm not trusting your gaydar, Trev. Your gaydar is fucked, mate.
No. All right, I've got an instinct for it.
Oh, okay. Now you have. All right. Did you invite him back for coffee?
No, nothing like that. But no, he was very good, actually.
Oh, he was good. Okay.
I was very flexible.
Were you the oldest in the class? Or?
Yeah.
Okay. What did you wear for it then?
Underpants and flip flops. The.
Did you actually go underpants and flip-flops?
No, I had my tracksuit.
Okay.
And, just a fucking top. It was very difficult. I mean, I thought I would be a little bit better than I was. I was just fucking hopeless, really. I mean, it's...
Was the instructor... Was it a man?
Australian bloke.
Oh, was he? Was he quite... I always find it you can get different when you get quite... I used to have a guy called Howard who was very... He was 52, but looked about 38. Mm. And he talks about, like, coconut oil and was like... I got the vibe. He ended up having sex with a lot of the women in the class. Was your guy quite spiritual or macho?
Oh, no, he wasn't spiritual.
What was his name?
Was it Stephen? I'm not sure. It could have been Stephen.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, no, an Aussie. You know, back and going. Blah, blah, blah. And nice bloke. We chatted and all the rest of it. But I thought his balance and poise and fucking flexibility were really very, very impressive. Yeah. Okay, I can bench press fucking a lot of weight and he can't. So, yeah, it's horses, of course. Isn't it?
That's a funny. I love that. It's like competitive nature there. I'm just like, you know, he was amazing, Barry. I definitely bench more than him.
Beat the shit out of Stephen, but horses, of course, this car. It's the only time that phrase has been used there.
I went running on Clapham Common. I get younger people run past me, like, you know, if I get off the track, the old cunt or whatever, you know, the way they run. I said, well, go to the gym, mate. See how much you fucking bench.
That's funny. So we gave you another task, Trev, which was do something nice every day for Julia.
I've always done something a little bit nice.
Always.
I make a cup of teas several times a day. I give her my Jaffa cakes from my stash, the official stash.
Where are you keeping it currently?
Actually, I've got my own crisper in the fridge. She can't go near it, not allowed to touch it. It's my own crisper.
Isn't that a sort of like Tupperware? The section? Oh, is it
Is it
a Tupperware?
Down the bottom.
Oh, yeah, it's the bottom, the fruit and veg bit.
There's
at the bottom.
Two, and there's one that's the sacred spot of the fridge.
Yeah, of course there is. Do you keep your Jaffa cakes in the fridge?
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, much unusual. Better. Oh, much nicer.
Does it not affect the soft parts, the biscuity cake parts?
No. It doesn't. It makes the chocolate hard, which I like, you know what I mean? It's much better in the fridge.
Well, what's in your crisper, Trev? Talk us through your sort of key items.
At the moment, I'm just fucking taking stuff out, but I've got four eggs, some Jaffa cakes, some hummus, some Parmesan cheese. and I've got some smoked fish.
It's an eclectic mix of foods.
I can understand why you wouldn't want anyone to take those invaluable items.
What's that game?
Julie, you're taking my smoked fish again.
The game we used to play.
Guess what I'm eating.
Guess what I'm eating. Which there was different games. There was a Guess what shop I'm in. Guess what I'm eating. But there was one where if you see what somebody's got in their shopping basket, you've got to guess what they're making for dinner.
Oh right.
Do you remember? There was a guy in front of me in the supermarket had a basket. He had four cans of stout. He had a big block of cheddar, and he had just some Bakewell tarts or something. I texted the ingredients to Chris and went, right, what's he making? and he came back with cheesy beer cakes.
Cheesy beer cakes, mate. So you think you this week did something nice for Judy every day?
Made a cup of tea. Always say, do you want a cup of tea? I don't fucking enjoy making it.
You're not just going to risk making a cup if it's going to go undrunk.
Yeah, no. Do you enjoy doing things for other people? I don't. I do it, but I don't actually enjoy it.
Do you know, I get this sort of weird sense of altruism. We were talking about this the other day, weren't we, about how like I love helping a woman carry a baby up some stairs at a train station in a pram. Because I in my head I think I've done my good.
Oh yeah,
it's
okay.
Like a, you know what I mean? It's sort of selfish because you're going, it makes me feel good to have done that good thing. And also, it's
but
nice.
Overall, it does do. It's still a better thing
than being an arsehole to someone. Do you give your seat up to people on trains?
If they're old and feeble and shit like that.
Feeble.
Yeah. Have a seat. Because, I mean, we all do things for selfish reasons. Like Mother Teresa didn't help people because she liked doing it. It's for selfish reasons.
Why did she do it?
Oh, it probably gave her a sense of fulfilment. Yeah. And,
also, she was doing it for religious reasons as well, which I suppose
come
down to some selfish nature, don't
it? It come down to the selfish gene, doesn't it? You know what I mean?
Gandhi, do you reckon he was selfish?
Yeah.
You said that
Gandhi, mate. He was the worst.
He was such a prick.
I reckon he'd hog his fucking Jaffa cakes, Gandhi. He smoked fish.
Yeah.
He'd turn violent if he took one of his Jaffa cakes, I'm sure of it. But I think
you could bench press more than him, so.
Yeah, definitely.
Imagine
he was secretly well arched, Gandhi.
But it's all about. He used to sleep with young virgins and not touch them, part of testing his willpower.
Oh, what, to sleep next to him?
Yeah, in the bed. They'd be totally naked.
Producer Joel. So weird does it test your willpower.
Why not just test it by not sleeping with
him? Yeah, that's right. Hates to be a guinea pig in expert. I guess, tonight I failed, guys. Sorry about that. I'll check, Gandhi.
Yeah, there's loads of things. You can test. I don't test, not wanting to kill someone by holding a knife to someone's throat for an hour. See if I go through with it.
Making him attack my family.
He was never tempted, apparently.
Really?
Mm. I was tempted enough to get in a bed with him.
Fucking idiot, really. I would have shagged both of them, but the.
You would have shagged Gandhi and the other. And at no point would you have thought it was anyway gay. He'd be like,
yeah. Trev. Should we read Julie's email? Let's do
Julie's email.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so you said you've been doing some nice things. We'll read the whole email. She's given us an update on you.
Okay.
She said you've been a good chap this week. Mm. He was sociable on Saturday night and had dinner with two of my friends and didn't dominate the conversation or do anything to make me wince.
That's a good sign, isn't it? You didn't ruin a dinner party. Mm.
Sunday, he agreed to come for drinks with our ex-neighbour. That's a tenuous link to somebody to give her a drink.
He's probably left Trevor in the house before.
Which really was a stretch, as he's not that keen on just a drinks party with a bunch of people he considers elderly.
Yeah. I'm older.
Really?
He's 70, 60, mid 60s or whatever.
So you're not a believer in the wisdom of the old?
Well, very few of them are wise. They have a track record of being wise. Like, yeah, they're fucking wise, but they're all fucking idiots, most of them.
Hats off, he agreed to come. However, by the time he'd waited half an hour for the bus and the journey was about 45 minutes, he'd lost the will to live and he went home. Oh, he didn't even go.
No, I didn't go.
It was fine. Monday, he graciously agreed to have lunch with me and my aunt and was perfectly nice with her. He's suffering from amnesia, unfortunately, or at least he's forgotten how to cook rice or make a salad or any of those things he finds essential to life. So that fails. Mm. That falls to me. So she's done all the cooking again.
Yeah.
She said, what was the task? To do something nice for me every day. Well, he's not done anything not nice, which is a weird way of saying it.
Yeah.
But I've not been surprised by anything out of the ordinary. You shared a pan au chocolat the other day.
I did, actually. I'll give her half of one.
That's very rare from you.
Guy likes
to hold his Jaffa cakes.
Yep.
So, Trev, thanks a lot.
Right.
Yep.
So we firstly found out, Carl, that turns out episode one, he just lied about doing yoga like a little naughty
Like a little kid who didn't do his homework. That is unreal.
So then he did go to it and he didn't mind it.
Yeah.
It was five guys. It was kind of...
Yeah, seemed to like make... He actually made some friends.
He had some details to this story because he actually did it.
So he
sort of felt guilty, did yoga.
Do you think he did it just so he could write the poem about it?
Well, again, he likes doing the poems. So
maybe we just start setting him tasks based on what we think he'd like to write a poem about.
I think he felt guilty, so he sort of made himself go.
Yeah.
But anyway, at least he's done it now.
Yeah,
some improvement from week one.
Absolutely. And he also seemed to enjoy the exhibition.
Yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't blown away, but
you know, he took it in. He didn't dismiss it.
He sort of, like me, was like, needs some. My same, get a couple of golf buggies in there, mate.
Yeah. We're not going to introduce that.
So he didn't. He went and he seemed to relatively enjoy it.
Yeah.
And with the nice tasks thing, Julius sort of said he didn't do anything not. I mean, he shared a pan of chocolat.
Yeah.
Which actually
is quite nice.
He's all right.
Yeah.
He did some nice. He didn't do anything not nice.
Yeah.
Which is sort of what I expected.
Yeah. He was slightly above.
I can't
imagine
him sorting like one of those planes out that puts like "I love you" in skywriting.
No. You probably think it's chemtrails or something.
But highlight for you, Carl?
I think my highlight is still the fact that when we were walking around the exhibition, he described. I asked his sort of. I was like, what are you thinking? And he just said he thinks it's the heaviest exhibition he's ever seen, just because the artists use loads of lead. So he basically took it in on a very technical level.
Yeah, it is.
Rather
than
thinking about the actual meaning and stuff.
Thought, that's a funny joke there.
What was your highlight of the week?
Definitely him posing in pants for a gay man who didn't realise was gay.
So I love that. That is the innocence of Trev sometimes, this is what I love.
But then to confidently say that he met a gay bloke at his yoga class and he didn't realise that a bloke who was in his house, he'd invited him for coffee and was making him do poses pants, didn't think he was gay.
It's amazing. You know, he's just he's a different beast, isn't he?
He's a different beast.
Anyway, that is the end of episode 4.
Yeah,
So
episode 5, I've given him the task of, because you've talked about this a lot, Carl. You've talked about wanting to be in shape and have a six pack. Yeah. You said you're going to have a six pack by the end of the year. It's not happened, Carl.
No, didn't happen. I'm not going to apologise or excuse it. It just didn't happen, mate.
So this is for me. This is mainly for me. I want Trev to be a teacher, turn the pupil into the teacher. I want him to take you for an hour of weights training.
I will absolutely do that.
This is good. I'm excited.
How weird are we going to look as a pair at the gym together?
You've also, weirdly, for someone that doesn't really go to the gym, got gym gloves, which I can't. I hope you still bring out.
I've got them from when I used to go to the gym.
Yeah. But you didn't go enough. I think you got to earn your gloves, and you didn't earn your gloves.
That was there from like 8 years ago when I went to the gym a lot for about 5 months.
All right,
that's enough to get
anyway,
gloves.
I want to see you and Trev go weight training. It's making me laugh.
Yeah, I'm already planning how I'm going to dress.
Yeah,
so
all right, that's good.
I'll do that. I'm as a little task to do. I think I'm going to ask him to give Julia a lovely massage, a lovely cut, not like a dirty massage. Like
I don't know if he's got it in him to not. Do a dirty one.
Who knows?
Yeah, we'll find out.
So yeah, I think it'd be nice, you know, something nice for her. Something I reckon he's got it in him as well. You know, he knows a bit about sort of the body.
Find out. Listeners, two things as usual. First one, go on iTunes, 5-star review, write up. We don't want your cash, we just want your time and your words.
And your stars. Kind words.
We want your stars, guys. Stars with cash. We want all of your bank details. Don't know what that means.
No.
Tell your
friends as well.
Tell your friends.
Pass it on. Spread the word. And why not get in touch at babysittingtrev on Twitter. You can get in touch. Just tell us what you think. But also, we're looking for suggestions on things we're going to get Trev to do in season 2. Because, you know.
The more suggestions, the better.
Yeah. We want to get up a really big list and then whittle it down to the best stuff. So you've got to know him by now. You know the sort of things that he's into, what he's not into. What do you think would be fun for us to get Trevor to do?
Right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Cheers for listening. Babysitting Trevor is a .. production hosted by Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin and Trevor Crook, and is produced by Joel Porter.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.